Hey, F3 Boise, welcome to another installment of the Stuff Worth Sharing podcast. I'm here with you once again, James Whitman, 40, Hooch.
And Tyler Giller, 32, Doodle.
And Garrett Marsall, 37, Cortana.
And Matt Colley, 37, Rumprost.
Hey, we snuck one in.
You guys asked for it, and we brought it back another guest. You didn't want to hear just the three of us again, and so we decided to bring the most joyous voice we could think of in the valley and brought Rumprost
on. Yeah.
You almost got a spit take.
Almost, close.
Yeah, if you had video on here, you could see that Rumprost almost spit all over the place. And Cortana's brand new podcast setup.
Six.
Heck yeah.
But welcome in, Rump. Really, really, really happy to have you here, so hopefully it's a great experience for you as well. How's it been so far?
It's already wonderful. We already blew my socks off. I'm rave reviews. You'll get it on Yelp.
Five stars.
Five stars on Yelp.
The man is getting to see how the sausage is made, and he's still excited about it.
You'll get the tipping screen after.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, let me turn. Just a question for you. Well, excellent. Guys, I hope this podcast is finding everybody well, moving forward, accelerating in all the aspects of your life, and the things that you have out there that are worth sharing. We've got some personally here, so let's go around the table. I know we've got some resolution, some goal updates, and then some things that we've noticed in the packs out there in the wild blue that we want to share out and give some tea claps. So, who wants to start?
I'll roll. So, yeah. We're doing resolution check-ins here. Oh, my path to a 1,000-pound club is. It's going. It's steady. It's a long way. I ran 1,000 miles a couple of years ago in 1 year, and so now it's time to do 1,000 pounds. Wow. And reminded myself that it's a grind.
So what's the number? What are you at the moment?
I'm at like 830 right now. And so I got some.
That's close, though.
Yeah,
right?
We have a trip to Alabama next week, so it's gonna be a deload week, and then coming back the next week, and I have a really heavy week.
What's
6 weeks planned.
So what's the squat at?
It's embarrassing. My squat's not good.
your bench is good, though.
My bench is phenomenal. My squat is like 260 right now.
Oh, so that's where all the difference can be made up.
I know. I did 4 weeks of squat every day, and I'm feeling it.
Be careful, man. We're starting calling you chicken legs.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's awesome. But I know you had somebody that you wanted to shout out.
Yeah, so now all the stuff we're sharing is O'Doyle. So some of you guys may or may not have met O'Doyle out in the gloom. He had to step away from F3 for a little while so that he could pursue his career in police work out. Yeah. So he got hired on with Meridian Police Department. He's been in the academy for the past couple weeks, months, and recently graduated. And in true F3 fashion, and true him, he graduated top of his class and crushed all the PT parts of it. So super proud of you, O'Doyle. Everything you've accomplished out there. Tower misses you out in the gloom, but couldn't be more proud of you. Hope to see you out against real soon.
Just more proof that O'Doyle does, in fact, rule. Yeah.
That's right.
Cortana, where are we at, brother?
So I guess... check in with the resolution. So I was traveling all last week, did not get a single pull-up in. So picking that back up now. So I didn't backslide too bad, but I'm still at about 4 or 5 consistent pull-ups per day.
Pretty good.
Not terrible. Hoping to get, I'd love to get 10 by the end of 75 hard.
Okay. So like another 32 days.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
So we'll see. You guys can hold me to it.
Yes, sir.
Nice.
And you also had somebody you wanted to shout out.
Yeah, well, we can jump right into it. I know that Make America Burpee Again finished, right? It was the month of January. I'll go ahead and just share some of the results and then give one shout out. So the way that results were displayed, it was per region. So I want to go with the Settlers, top three. So running on number three was Stitches with 3,100 and 53 burpees.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
What?
I know. Nice job there, Stitches. So that's, and I'll do the rankings too. So that's ranked 374 out of 1,241. So that's pretty good. So all these guys in Boise were at least.
Yeah, top 25%.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So number two for Settlers Region was Bricks at 3,200 burpees. And number one was Porky. And I feel like he's in it for the memes. Because he just beat Bricks by one burpee. Way to 32-01.
Strategery.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's a game.
That's all it took. That's so nice job, Settlers guys, on the MOBA results. And then for High Desert, ranking out, rounding out number three was Upright with 1,705 nice. Burpees. Our brother AM with 3,313.
Ooh.
And then Wonka with 4,400 burpees.
Oh, my word. Holy Lord. Hold on. How many burpees is that a day?
So I wanted to shout out Wonka because if you didn't know, some people I think were already aware of this, but he was driving to Boise, parking at one of the parking garages, and then running up the stairs and at each level doing like, you know, 100 or 50 burpees or something. He'd go up and down until he met, you know, his 250 or 500 for the day or whatever. And he told me at one point he wanted to get them done early so he could take some time off at the end of the month. but he kept going and he crushed it with over, you know, with just under 4,500 burpees. So Wonka, congratulations on
that. That's well done.
Wonka, you mad lad. No wonder you're limping every time I see you come up to a ruck when I catch you out there.
And so I will say too, you know, for those of you that don't know, we had, Pax Waldo in Jeffco region, mm-hmm. who had fallen and has been recovering. There were a lot of people that were donating their burpees to Waldo during MABA. Do you guys want to take a guess at how many burpees that ended up being?
10,000.
More.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
20K.
125,000. Oh, my word. 555 burpees to Waldo.
Oh, my word.
So I checked the nation stats, and Waldo was number one. And I was like, wait, who can do? Oh, they were donated.
That's awesome.
So that's a pretty cool cause, too.
That's super awesome.
That's incredible. If he can find a bank to cash that in.
I know.
$1 per burpee.
But you can't replace love. That's exactly what
it is. So nice job to all the Boise Packs that were cranking out burpees this month.
Jeez. Hell yeah. Rump, what do you got? What's been going on this week? I know... You know, you got an AO launched, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But anything on your mind or on your heart right now? And
living the dream, one nightmare at a time.
There we go. We wake up screaming, but we wake up on time.
Yeah, nothing much. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, for my part, still deep in the bowels of 75 hard, kind of on the back end of that, and headed back down the hill. Seeing tons of results. Definitely seeing the body trim up, seeing some of the weight come off the scale is always nice to see. Those daily disciplines just getting easier and easier. As we closed in, I think it was a couple nights ago when we had 35 days left, and I actively saw that number, and I started thinking, it's like, man, it's time to start making a transition plan from this. You know, what habits are we going to keep? What things are we going to lighten up with? What things are we going to keep being a stringent hold, kind of a pass fail for the day? And then where's the accountability going to come from at the same time? Because it's not going to be the same group, you know, attempting to go through 75 hard together, holding me to that, or, you know, the idea of restarting it, that's going to be the consequence. It's going to have to be something different. So I'm going to have to find some capital A accountability out there. And yeah, so looking forward to that, is just finding my way out of it.
The day 76 plan.
Yes, sir. Yes, right. Sir. As far as shout outs to the rest of the Valley, I won't call anybody out individually. But what I have noticed around the Valley at a couple of different beatdowns that I've been to is before and after beatdowns, I've seen shield locks forming and meeting, going out walking and talking. So those of you who have found those shield locks, who have taken that step, congratulations and well done. For those of you out there who are still considering joining one or wondering what that is, reach out to your AOQs, send me a message. I'm happy to chat with you about it, the difficulties, the struggles, the benefits that you can get from entering in that side-by-side relationship with a couple other men to hold each other accountable and keep that moving. So great to see that evolving throughout the Valley. It's one of the things that I've said we've kind of been missing to take that next step. And to see that kind of happening naturally is a wonderful thing to see. So keep going, guys. Keep accelerating. That's what we're here for. All right. And now I think we're into the portion of the podcast that we hit every single week. I hope this is a favorite of yours, because it's an absolute favorite of mine. FNGs. So the last time we came together and we broadcast, it was January 23rd. So we've got about 3 weeks of gentlemen built up here. Mm-hmm. So in the most grand fashion possible, let me welcome the following men into the fold of F3 Boise. We've got the Ghost.
Nice.
I added the, but it seems like it needs a the.
Yeah.
The Ghost. From the Interceptor Flag Plant, we have gentlemen by Butane and Dent.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
We've got that damned old rodeo. Stormtrooper.
That's so good.
Red Tag. Plinko. Tour de France.
Oh, that's a mouthful.
Evangelist. Spanner. And Icy Hot.
Oh,
yeah. So this gentleman, Spanner, let me tell you a bit about him. I met him Saturday out at the gym. So not only does the gentleman have a fine British accent, but he showed up on a bicycle.
Yes. Well, he was named appropriately.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, man.
I hope they gave him a coupon to strap to drive ride home.
They're just, there are some packs that fit that crazy bucket a little bit more than the others. And Spanner, brother, welcome to
one
the show.
Of us. Now, but what is it like the one with the really big front wheel and the really tiny small like behind? Because that would
like
be
the penny something.
The yeah. Penny. The penny farthing.
Penny farthing. Exactly right. All right.
Now that's an FNG.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Penny farthing.
Put that in the bank, gentlemen. So moving on.
I think we missed an FNG.
One more. Yep. Chick Magnet.
He did. I don't think he's on Slack, but
he's not on Slack.
Yeah. See, that's where I
We're
get
We're still
it.
Working on him.
Yep.
So, Brump's going to go home and show him this podcast.
Exactly.
Very good.
Let him know he's been called out.
That's right.
All right. We got VQs.
Yeah, so VQs, two VQs in the past 3 weeks. We had Trim Reaper out at Goose. I think that one was only like yesterday or a couple days ago. And we had Yellowstone out at Warhorse.
Nice.
Excellent job, guys, stepping up to the plate and getting those in. Now, I have noticed we had quite a few FNGs named in our past couple podcasts and only a couple VQs. So, message to all you guys who haven't had your VQ yet, don't be scared.
Get someone to co-queue with you. Yeah. You know, we got a lot of guys that are willing to take you through that process and queue alongside you to answer your questions or go through the process. Sometimes you end up planning too little time or too much. So if you're curious about that and you want to queue, we'd encourage you to step up and get your co-queue. Yeah, actually, thank you, Hooch, for reminding me. So another milestone here that I wanted to touch on wasn't actually a VQ, but it's actually someone's 100th Q, and that'd be Doppler. So Doppler hit that 100th Q.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Finally, I found a use for it. So congratulations, Doppler, on your 100th Q.
If you haven't gone to a Q school taught by Doppler, too, phenomenal.
Always good.
Like just basic fundamentals of how to run a solid Q. Great work, Doppler.
Well done, brother. And Cortana, I'm really glad you hit the right button because that could have been.
They're not labeled or color coded, so we'll see what happens.
Look at the draw.
It's like a game of memory.
That's right. All right. And so now we'll touch on beatdown milestone. So we'll go through the numbers here. So rounding out at 100, we've got some familiar faces here. We've got Bedpan, Mr. Rogers, Fiddler, Longtime, Swifty, and Steve Reich, all rounding out that 100. Beatdown milestone. So congratulations nice. To
that's
you guys.
That's a big chunk of those Goose Dynasty crew hitting that. Now I'm kind of curious how many beatdowns Goose Dynasty has in total.
Right.
That's cool to see a bunch of those guys hit 100.
Well, it's cool to see those guys hit 100 and to see those guys stepping up too, because a lot of those guys are actively queuing, actively taking leadership roles. So well done.
AO leadership. And
right. Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, coming up on 400, we've got Chlorine and Backslash.
Oh,
400
nice.
Beatdowns. So congratulations to you guys. We're going to move on up here to 600, and that goes to Sheets.
Sheets 600.
Sheets hit 600.
What do you do that in a couple weeks?
Didn't we just congratulate him on 500? Yeah, go space these one. Out a little bit.
How many belts does he have? I mean,
all of them.
All the belts. And then I know he's a humble man, but at 700... we have our very own Hooch hitting 700 beatdown. Right. So That deserves another round of applause there.
Did you mean to say pooch?
No, not unless I misspoke.
He might have been officially renamed.
There we go.
During Starbucks when our girl Bubbles, or no, I don't think it was Bubbles that day. It was somebody wrote pooch on.
Oh
the
no!
Cup.
Did they re- they accidentally got your name right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We're gonna help him remember as many times as we can.
That's funny. All right. Well, actually, we're not done.
Oh my lord!
We have an 800 beatdown milestone, and you know him, you love him. That goes to the infamous Freighter. So, congratulations, Freighter, on 800 beatdowns.
I'm looking forward to. I just saw in the Nation Slack that someone had hit 1,000 beatdowns.
Wow!
And I'm looking forward to when we get to call our first 1,000 beatdowns.
Heck yeah!
So
we're well on our way.
Freighter, you're almost there, my man.
So, congratulations to all you guys. It hit a milestone in the last few weeks. It's always good to see some of the new timers coming up, stepping up, and some of the old timers hitting those insane milestones.
So guys, I know a lot of you guys feel kind of the same way about a lot of these milestones. You start hitting those numbers kind of past that 100, 300, you know, you're entrenched at that point. This is what you're here. This is what you're about. So kind of like you were saying, I didn't want to call myself out for it. I wasn't going to do it. I'm happy to hit 700. I'm happy to be here. But it's not about that number for me. The number of guys that reached out to me and told me, it's like, hey, you're a big part of what makes this work and why I take a lot of pleasure in being here. And so it was, thank you, those of you who reached out to me and gave me those messages. I really appreciate it. And I want you guys to know, like, celebrating that 700, it's not just me. It's everybody that shows up to these beatdowns, the guys who push me, keep me going when I don't want to be here. The guys that I see when they HC to a beatdown and I have to show up. So thank you guys. And remember, as you push forward and you hit these milestones, that it's not about you. So thank you again.
Yeah, good word. Congrats, Hooch.
Yeah. All right. I think that wraps up what's happened in the past couple weeks. Let's go ahead and look ahead to what is coming up. So coming up on the 21st here, we do have a second F lunch out at Rise. Where is that at? It doesn't have it on the events page with where it's at. But there's a second F lunch coming up on the 21st near Rise.
Are we just going to do the See the Events page?
Yeah. See the Events page.
See the Events page.
We're just going to hand wave the announcements.
And because we love to eat, Iron Mountain Breakfast, February 22nd, 6 a.m. at the Sunrise Cafe.
Yeah, if you guys are anywhere near the west side of the valley and you haven't been out to Iron Mountain, especially one of the Saturday mornings when they go out and they hit breakfast there at the Sunrise, that's an awesome time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is some of the best second F around.
Cool. Also come up is the NE Pace Loops to celebrate 1 year since being OTB for Dark Stride. I didn't realize they'd been OTB. You know,
1 year.
1 year, and so it's not a year since Flag Plant, but they've been running out there for a year. So they're going to celebrate that. So head out to Dark Strides, regardless of what pace you're running, to go hit some get some miles in. I imagine there's probably a good time for triple downs, double downs, and need all your time on feet for all the upcoming long things.
Just as much fun as you're willing to have.
Yeah. Cool. And then coming up on March 4th, we got trivia night coming up. I don't know if you guys have any more information on the trivia night.
I think Tarzan was setting that up. So talk to Tarzan for questions, not to put you on the spot, Tarzan, but I think that was his baby there.
Yeah, welcome to the X. So, but that's at the Warehouse Food Gallery downtown in Bodo. So that's going to be, again, March 4th at 7 o'clock at night.
And then the High Desert Convergence and Capitol Flag Plant coming up on March 8th. Going to be a great time down at the Capitol. It's going to hopefully get a big crowd out there.
Yeah.
I probably plan to try and drive a little early. I know there's plenty of parking down there, but you might, if there's too many of us, probably end up having to park a little bit further away. So it's going to be a lot of good things coming out of that convergence. You don't want to miss it. We'll even open it up to the settlers guys too.
Yeah, if you've never been approached by the police during a beatdown or leading up to a beatdown, this may be your opportunity to check that off your bingo card. So there's high chance of.
If you want any strategy happening. Or tips on how to handle police before a beatdown, talk to Wooderson.
That's exactly what you're trying to do. Yeah. Ideally, you don't pay for the interaction. Yeah.
I think Woody had to pay for it. Yeah.
Now, that's a segue if I ever heard one.
Yes, it is. Well, speaking of Woody having to pay a police officer, well, I don't know, guys. Where did that happen at?
Yeah. I actually paid that police officer to tell him. So it's kind of, yeah, it was lucrative for the police officer in that case. Yeah, so that was a AO Interceptor flag plant.
Yeah.
Hey, the flag plant.
There it is. Sorry, that's overused.
Do you know how long were we OTB at Interceptor before planting flags?
Oh, I have no idea. No. It was under 6 months, though.
That's good.
Yeah, it was under 6 months. I knew I needed to keep it under 6 months. That was a target of mine.
So yeah. In case you were not one of the – how many guys were out there?
65.
65? In case you weren't one of the 65 guys to make the trip all the way down to CUNA, Burning Fish Park, to go to an Interceptor flag plant – it was a great time.
Yeah,
basically Nevada. Nevada and turn around.
That is the word for from the north side of town.
Yeah, I actually named it like under the description originally as basically Nevada. I think Wooderson got mad at me and then changed it back. I grew that. Okay, that's something I grew.
That's funny.
We had Rusted out here to discuss the fly plant help up there in Emmett, and now we are here. Black Canyon. Now we want to bring Rump Rust on to kind of discuss where the Interceptor, why Interceptor, why the name, why the location, and the packs we're serving out there at the AOS Interceptor. So without further ado, Rump Rust, tell us first a little bit about yourself, how you came to F3, and then we'll jump right into Interceptor.
So I moved to the Valley, I think it's almost 3 years ago now, and Baby Drive and I were hunting buddies. We went to the same church, worked at the same company, and became buddies that way. And then I was at my daughter's birthday party, and Grandpa Einstein, call him Grandpa Einstein, that makes him very happy, came up to me and said, "Hey, you know what? I do this F3 thing. You should probably go." And I said to Baby Driver, "We should probably try this out." And
I'm gonna pause you right there. Who invited Einstein to a birthday party?
Oh, his wife's daughter is friends with my daughter. They went to the same school. So
does Einstein talk as much outside of F3 as he does in F3?
Heck yeah, that's part of the glow. And so I said sure. Didn't tell him I was going to come out. And Baby Driver and I were looking at a way to suck less while we hunted, and suck less wind, and also suck less at the physical aspect of it too. And so we wanted to try F3 out to see if that could be a way forward for physical fitness, and came out to a beatdown. Somebody was queuing, and got some lovely names from this. One of the two of us got a good name, and then I like to say I if you asked me a year ago, I wouldn't self-identify as Rump Rust. Now I do. I don't know what that means, but I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
So many good spin-offs of Rump Rust. We have the Grump Roast.
The Grump Roast, yeah. Rumpy. That's another one. Yep.
The Musings of the Rump.
The Musings of the Rump.
That one's my favorite,
Lumpy,
for sure.
Lumpy Toast is also what I'll occasionally say.
It's when you start incorporating your after name into the bedroom, you start getting worried.
Oh, that's going to be Lumpy Toast in the bedroom. Oh, that would luck.
Lots of eye contact.
Okay, sorry. We digress.
Yeah, so that's where I came from and how I got here and started planting the started to do some OTBs and some Black Ops down in CUNA and at Bernie Fisher over the summer, this past summer. Yeah, way less than 6 months. Actually, it was way less because it was midsummer, I think, that we came out there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Explored around. Yeah. And so, then started from there.
So why CUNA? Why Bernie Fisher? What was the driving factor behind that?
Yeah, so as far as, like, the park is the easy one and a little bit shorter of an explanation than why CUNA. So the park itself is awesome. It has a ton of stuff, not only access to the Greenbelt, great parking, great breakfast spots near it, the best coffee.
You mean the Cuna Caves at Red
Leaf? There's no fucking Caves. It's not possible to go there.
We diverted one time because Moxie Java was closed.
I have a list, okay? If anybody wants a list, it's well detailed. It has annotations and citations.
You got them all worked up now.
You know? Now I'm a grumpy rumpy. See, that's right. This is how it comes, all right?
We know what buttons to press.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They're color coded and labeled.
Oh. Man, it's been. I don't know that I'd known somebody to care that much about their cafeteria spot since I went to Bellagio last.
Well, that's, you know, I hung out with Freighter too much. That was it. I got my zeal for one spot.
You careful tossing that glove down.
So the park's great, though. Super well lit. You know, lots of options. Like, we have different areas that we can go to, let alone there's the doodle pit, the gopher hole.
Yeah.
the Coliseum. And gonna have to come up with some more names.
Is one of those the cold plunge area?
No. None of those are even the cold plunge area. Oh, wow. Yeah.
We've done hydro burpees.
Hydro burpees, yeah. Yep. Right. Yeah. Lots. So much room for activities.
And if you feel like you're missing out on inside jokes, it's because you are.
Yeah.
And you want to laugh more during this podcast, come to AO Interceptor sometime.
And you should want to jump out of the gopher hole.
Or into the gopher hole.
Or both. Yeah.
Eye contact.
So the park was an easy one. That's a central location of Cuna, right down town where everybody can see, especially our friendly dog that drives by every day, and which is a favorite thing that happens. We get excited about.
Okay, you see the same cars every day.
Yeah,
you know, rolling through there. So you're basically on the main thoroughfare through Cuna.
And there's this one dog that barks at us every day, and we think it's his best day.
Best part of his day.
It makes our day. Yeah. So, so that visibility is kind of one of the things that we wanted, especially to be able to have people just drive by and see what we're doing, and maybe talk to somebody else. And we've definitely EH'd some folks down there too, walking around, especially with access to the Greenbelt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that. Planting a flag in Cuna has definitely been a dream and a goal that Tater's had since he came out here. You know, he couldn't get Cuna when he first started out, and he had to have, you know, the north side of Meridian.
Yeah.
What's that been like, kind of working alongside Tater, kind of the OG, the...
Horrible. The No, it's awesome. Actually, fun fact is Tater shared it. I don't know if everybody heard it at the flag plant, but the actual first beatdown done in Boise was at Bernie Fisher Park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like the very first OTB.
Yeah, very first OTB was there.
Wow.
And Freighter was the first, him and another dude were the first FNGs, but I don't know where that was be done at. That's a trivia for another time. Yeah. So, and then as far as like the community is concerned, right? I was really intentional about what community that I wanted to serve there. And there's really two groups. One, I wanted to serve the dudes who are 65 and plus. I wanted dudes who were in their older generations, and I wanted the dudes who were younger, who are looking at the military base nearby and thinking about developing themselves into a military career later. And obviously, we have that bandwidth in between, but for me, especially when I looked at developing the culture around the AO and why those two groups in that age group span was important to me is because of the value that both the older group and the younger group confer to each other. Yeah. And I saw this in a gospel community church, like a house church thing back in my church back in Rochester. And I got a ton of value from it. Like, that older wisdom is super important.
F3 calls it the whetstone relationship,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. You need someone who's been there, done that, and can sharpen the younger generations.
Yeah, and I it's definitely paid off. We definitely have a good group and a great span of ages, and I know that some of us have definitely benefited greatly from elders' wisdom. And I hope that some of the zeal and energy some of us younger pups can confer on grandpa's And so that was one of the aspects, definitely, as to why CUNA, right? And then it is also, if you look at from a statistical distribution perspective, it's
big
an
words.
I know. Well, I can't even get it out of my mouth, so it's pretty big. I'm lucky I can count in the. I'm lucky I can count ever in the morning or in the afternoon.
Sometimes he can't count.
I can't.
And we get a little on the cues.
Sometimes it's purposeful, and then other times it's not. So, but that's one of the other things too. Is like that was a major missing region for us. We haven't expanded south as much, and it's wonderful. Like with the Emmett folks, right? Like the folks up Black Canyon, to see them expand so far up above the main distribution of AOs. Yeah. I'd love to see that.
I think one of Russet's main reasons for setting up their AO is like, I just didn't want to drive anymore.
There you go. Yeah.
And I think we've definitely reached a couple of guys in CUNA that way too.
100%.
Well, there's something to be said about local guys leading local guys.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, it's peer led, but you're planting those flags where your community is.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And so that's a great example of what that is.
Well, I mean, CUNA is just kind of the newest microcosm of what's been happening in the Valley over the last 10 years. Yeah. You have, you know, these significant communities of people and families who have been here just forever. And then we have the new people coming in, right. You know, the refugees from California and other people just settling in here.
In New York. Okay.
Yeah.
You can't discriminate against us, right? Dude?
We probably have the highest percentage of East Coasters at the CUNA one.
That's right. Exactly. That's true.
I am a very West Coast centric kind of guy. It's just the country stops at the Rockies as far as I'm concerned. But, and then we have all these new blood coming in and mixing with it. And I think either way, whether you've been here for a minute or you want some of what, you know, the West and what Boise and Idaho have to offer, it's, I think F3 kind of exemplifies the heart and soul and that spirit of, you know, that independence, self-sufficiency and community that I think a lot of people find appealing about this area.
For sure.
So planting flags, you have to go where the men are.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And so planting that flag underneath the water towers out there in CUNA, I think you just is a superb job of picking a spot to start having some impact.
Yeah. And we all know that an AO is not self-sufficient by one person, right? It only becomes a self-sufficient AO once you start getting folks regularly there. So is there any packs in particular that played a critical role in seeing the success of Interceptor?
Oh yeah. I mean, I would say that it's there's an innumerable amount of people that I've seen support from that I'm grateful for. And as far as like specific packs are concerned, we have like PMD and Guaranteed, Kraken, Butane Dent now coming out, Rambler coming out as well.
That's six guys right there. I think this is their home AOs.
So. That's awesome. Absolutely. Which, and then, I mean, of Tater, you know, Cortana, Hooch, you guys have come down a lot as well. And like that's, you know, that regular cadence of folks there is great. And then that's, again, also what kind of makes some of the culture of the particular AO, right?
Yeah, so culture. Culture's big with an AO, right? You got Capital, whose their culture is no beat downs. You got no beat downs. No equipment beat downs. You got Bleach.
Is there a shots fired button on there?
All right. And then you have Bleach, you know, known for being heavy sandbags, and you got Black Diamond and everything. So what would you say the culture that you guys are building out Interceptor is?
Yeah. And well, and actually to the point of serving the community, right? Serving the men that are there, I think 95% of us are either avid outdoorsmen or hunters. And more to the latter of those two.
So I think more what he's driving at is if a man comes out to Interceptor, he's never been there before, what can he kind of expect from the beatdown itself?
Exactly. Well, and that's everything to support those hobbies, right? Mm-hmm. And so we focus on a lot of really, really kind of two buckets. One, hero wads, because of the place itself that we planted.
Kraken.
Yeah, Kraken. And Kraken. And then also, too, as far as like, we run a lot of the Mountain Tough monthly challenges there. Try to do that monthly. And
it's appropriate. Checks out.
And same though, too, like with a lot of the heavy sandbag stuff, HTT, we like that stuff because you can't carry an elk out on your back if you haven't been used to carrying stuff, right? So that's a lot of what we support as far as the gist of the style of beatdowns that we do there.
Well, very good. Yeah, there's an immense value in preparing a man to carry weight on his shoulders and just having that mental fortitude along with the physical fortitude that you develop by practicing that. So it's definitely something that's worth doing, and I'm glad you're out there doing it.
Yeah.
Many years to come, and maybe one of these days you'll pass a flag off to one of those guys.
I'm hoping to do so.
Always planning 43 feet ahead.
Yeah, right, exactly.
There looking it
ahead,
is.
Yeah. I'll say one thing I really like about the second half culture. You know, we talked a little about the first half culture of Interceptor there. Second half culture is fantastic out there as well. When it's warmer, doing the cold plunges, getting coffee. Now when it's colder, we developed a pretty good relationship with our folks over at Moxie Java. Lots of laughs, lots of good times.
Lots of mumble chatter.
Lots of mumble chatter.
Lots of mumble chatter. Some disruptive packs.
Looking at Tater.
Now, Tater, that's...
Insulin's burpees.
Insulin's burpees. Have to call out lots of insulin's burpees. Yeah.
Well, you know, huge shout out to the Interceptor packs and putting on an excellent conversion. A lot of fun. And the breakfast afterwards, well, it was well done by, the pork belly. For those who got to stick around there. So great job. A ton of fun. Looking forward to a lot more beatdowns out at Interceptor.
Thank you again to that PAX, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Who paid for everybody's meal at Pork Belly. That was awesome.
Yeah, I'm still a little bent out of shape about that. So thank you, whoever you are.
Yeah. But one question I didn't answer is, as far as the place is concerned, the park and why it's named the park, and it, you know, what why we named it Interceptor. So Bernie Fisher, he's a Medal of Honor recipient, flew in World War II, and he flew with the Sky Raiders at that time. He flew in Vietnam. Gonna say sorry about that. And large backstory for him. There's a blurb of that I posted with the actual flag plant. But later in his career, he then started flying interceptors. And so the kind of double entendre to the name is that we're intercepting men in their course of their life.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So to kind of wrap things up, if anybody out there is considering, you know, hey, I'm in an area where I'm a little pushed out from a local AO, and there is a community of men around me that I would like to start serving, what are things that you would recommend or kind of put out there as advice for somebody to plant their own flag?
So I would say do it with a core group of guys too to start off with.
Yeah.
Grab like one or two packs that are at least, you know, pretty close from a proximity perspective. And then that would be key. And it's just to start to develop that team, that you guys support each other to start at least in that cadence. I also do like the idea of not starting off with just one day a week of a beatdown, at least a minimum of two, and think about why and when the days are and how that complements the region and how it complements the other local AOs that are there. So that you can see support from just the other regular packs that are maybe going to some nearby AOs come out to you.
That's great.
Right on, man.
Good word.
Yeah.
So, next topic here. We got a little time left.
Sorry. Rump's got himself a hard out, so we're just kind of up against that. So we want to respect his time and make sure we're jumping into this. But go right ahead, Doodle. Let's hit it.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. So... Fine gentlemen out there, do not forget that Friday is Valentine's Day. And do not forget to make your M's or significant others, your kids feel special on this day, whether you whether you subscribe to Hallmark holidays or not.
Yeah. Now, out there in the future, I do feel the disturbance and the force that just happened as you listen to that, and all of you who are groaning internally about the idea of Valentine's Day. I'll tell you what, guys. I was in the same boat probably up until this last 2 years, and it's that idea of it's not about you kind of permeating a lot of my thinking, because it isn't, guys. I know the idea of, you know, Valentine's Day and corporatizing a day where you're supposed to express love for the people around you by buying expensive flowers or jewelry and going out to dinner in a crowded restaurant where you're never going to get the reservation. It's obviously going to be late. You're going to be out there with all the people, and then you have to find babysitters and chocolate. And it's...
I'm getting stressed thinking about that.
But there's a lot of tradition that goes around that. And traditions are in place for a reason. They support things. They support the things that are valuable to our society and to our relationships and the things that have occurred in our past. And while the holiday, I think, is a little bit over-corporatized and marketed, the expression and the underlying value of the holiday doesn't diminish for that if we don't allow it to. Your wife deserves a day where you express your love and affection for her. Usually in a way that you haven't in a long, long time, if you're going to be honest with yourself. Your kids deserve to understand that expression of love and affection in a more direct way than you typically do so throughout the day. It's more than just the hug and the I love you before you send them off to bed. You have to actively go out, plan something, probably make a couple of purchases, and make a day of it. So thankfully, I have an M that she's kind of taken on some of the burden, and I think that is more because in the past I've made it very, very clearly understood that this was not something that I wanted to participate in. And throughout the years as they've gone by, I've realized kind of the damage that I've done by holding that opinion and expressing it as freely as I have. So. Yeah, think about that. Why do you not want to participate in Valentine's Day, and what are you costing, and what could you actually be gaining if we engage in this holiday in an appropriate way to express those things? So I've talked a lot here. What do you guys think?
I mean, yeah, even just as an opportunity to show love, right? I mean, if you're not, you know, regular in that enough, or if you don't feel like it's regular, use it as an opportunity. And to add to your point about the kids, right? Yeah, you can show them that on the Valentine's Day, but it's also important for them to see you showing your wife or significant other that love, right?
Yep. I think you can devalue things with your words, like very, very easily. Like a consistent message that you're giving of, hey, this holiday doesn't matter, and when it's so easy to be like, no, I can show love every day, but especially on this day, right?
But do you?
Do you actually show love, you know, every day?
Exactly.
And do you take that time to actually reflect upon, this is the day I should be showing love, and this is how love should look towards my spouse every day.
So we're going to get to the point. We asked a couple of questions, you know, hey, take this back to your wife and get a response as far as we were talking more in the context of F3. But guys, you want to kind of have a pit of your stomach ball shrinking moment. Ask your wife the last time she felt you were putting effort into dating or wooing or displaying affection and making her feel wanted, valued, needed.
Because if for nothing else, Valentine's Day gives us an easy opportunity to be intentional and show intentionality. Yeah. There's no reason why you can't swing by, grab a couple flowers and some chocolate, and at the very least, you know, maybe surprise your M or your kids with that.
It's almost like we've talked about intentionality in almost every facet of life.
Yeah.
All the F's, you know, we've touched on intentionality in all of that.
So it's about this concept in F3 within QSource we talk about is turning pro. The amateur, things happen. Things happen around them, they happen to them, they happen through them. But the professional plans, the professional makes things happen in a deliberate way. And when things that are outside of his control come into his life, he is prepared to deal with those things. Maybe he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't open up the playbook and say, yes, I got it right here. I'm going to do this for this situation. But he has enough flexibility and he has enough strength and enough things built up in his life. He's going to be able to respond to these things. And when we're talking about maintaining a relationship with the M, with the center of our concentrica, the most important relationship that we have in our lives that we're building forward, you must be intentional. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, where does that leave us?
Yeah.
With a wife who feels taken for granted, in a relationship where you're likely going to start feeling resentment going in, you know, outwards from you and directed back towards you, and things get taken for granted. So this is an opportunity. It's a holiday on the calendar where you have an opportunity to be intentional.
Yep.
You know, where that's going to be appreciated and honestly expected. And just because it's expected of you doesn't devalue the effort that you put into it. And I think that's always where I was with Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. It's like, why does society expect me to do this? Why am I going to jump through the hoops, you know, just to engage in, you know, in this holiday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good challenge too. Your M most likely wants to be celebrated, mm-hmm. even if that's not always conveyed in straightforward means that men can understand. But take that opportunity, celebrate your M, celebrate yeah. your kids. Yeah. And then make that a habit. Don't wait till next Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, surprise them every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I love catching my wife off guard with flowers randomly. She loves it. It's a simple gesture, but it's something I don't have to wait for Valentine's Day for.
And we talked about it earlier too. We were talking about, what do you do on day 76 of 75 hard?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. What do you do to show love the day after Valentine's Day?
Yeah, perfect. It's true.
So we did, I did throw out a question, some of our packs, you know, cause trying focusing a little bit on the M's at the end of the day. Initially when we were originally planning this, I was thinking it would be kind of like a funny little thing to have like, hey, what are M's perspective on F3. Right. And then we were going to talk about a little bit of acceleration of men within, within their families, with their M's, with their significant others. And so we posed a couple questions to, some packs. To ask their M's, and it took a turn differently than I expected. Got some very genuine feedback. My wife made me cry. She wrote, you can see my wife wrote a literal.
Wow, that's a.
That's an essay.
It was an essay.
Yeah.
It was an essay. She's not a. She is. I love her. She is not a. Short-winded person, right? And she puts an incredible amount of thought into this. And then it was really good to see. The men who messaged me back had similar conversations with their M's. Were like, hey, you know, this actually sparked a really good conversation between my M and I in terms of my acceleration within my family and how I'm showing love better and how I'm showing up better within it. And obviously we F3'd it a little bit, asked some questions about specifically like, hey, how is F3, have you seen any changes?
Let's take a quick period right there. I know we're coming up on time that Rump, you got to get rolling out of here. So just quickly back to you before we let you leave, what's been an improvement in your relationships that you've seen within your household that you can reflect on from your time joining in F3?
I mean, I think just the, I can't remember how my wife phrased it, but, from a calmness perspective, from a, even how much more even keel I am, and the more steady pace of the leadership that I have in my family is more done in a not so helter skelter way. So it's definitely much more linearized.
I think the word you gave me that your wife used was insane fitness cult.
Oh, yeah. three words to describe it. Insane, yeah.
Yeah. So the first question was three words to describe F3. And it, she nailed the assignment, by the way. Insane fitness cult. And then, yeah, you know, echoing what you said, you know, in a positive outlook that's felt by the family.
Yeah. 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 She goes, isn't it 10 degrees tomorrow morning? Oh, it's going to be 5 tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Lots of cluster freeze to be had.
Cluster freeze to have, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, we want to get you unplugged from the matrix here and get you back home so we can have you back at some time in the future. So thank you very much for taking some time out and chatting with us.
Thank you,
fellas. It's been great.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
All right, and if we've spliced things back together sufficiently and correctly, you're back with us, and Rump Roast is no longer. So, Doodle,
say whatever you want about him.
Yeah, that's right. So let me turn it back to you. You asked for some feedback with a couple of questions from some packs to actually go to their M's and ask some questions about the impact of F3 in their relationships and in their household. So, what'd you get back from that?
I got some great ones back from folks, I'm gonna spare some packs names and such for this, but we'll roll through. So, got some really good, really good feedback in terms of the three words one. You have friendship, commitment, growth. My wife used family, friends, and funnigans, which is a combination of fun shenanigans.
Nice. Yeah, I'm here for it.
But you also got a lot of like really good and some harder answers, right? They weren't all just like straight like glowing blow smoke up your butt kind of responses. I mean, I got one guy, he said, "Hey, well, I said it's definitely time consuming, right? In order to do something to grow for yourself, you have to put some time into it, which is going to take time from something else." Yeah. This packaging says, "Hey, part of the time I spent with my wife now is just more sleeping, so you can get up early." In the same paragraph they sent me, it says he's also aware of commitments and commitments towards me and wanting to make sure he keeps them. So not only, do we show commitment to our packs in the mornings coming out, but it also should be an exemplification of the commitment you're showing your spouse and your kids in your day to day.
So let's pause. I want to pause on that for just a second. I think that's one of the major hurdles that comes up for a guy in his kind of growth and his evolution through the process of F3. And it's, at some point, like, you can get so carried away with this thing that it can become detrimental to your other relationships. Yeah. That F3 becomes more important than those other things, and you'll sacrifice those other things exclusively to the benefit of F3. And if you don't have that give and take going back the other direction, all of a sudden, F3 is just the thing that takes you away and out of the house. Mm-hmm. And I know that's kind of the feedback that my wife is giving me, is that as much as she appreciates and she loves how much I have been able to improve personally and how that personal growth has benefited our relationships and our home, like F3 takes a ton of my time and energy and effort away. Even when I'm home, I've got Slack up and I'm making those responses and making plans. And like right now, I'm here at this podcast instead of at home at the table eating dinner with them. So Kira, this is for you if you tune into this. Like, thank you very much for sharing me with these men. It means a lot to me to be here with them, but it means more to me that I am becoming a better man so I can better serve and love you. And I know that doesn't always come across, but that's my effort and that's my goal through all of this, is to be more. I know you've heard me say that this isn't about me and talking to other guys in those terms, but I try not to let that be a platitude. And I hope that you'll love me enough to tell me when it's starting to sound like cross stitch on a pillow instead of something that I'm living out.
Yeah. Another one I got here, and so Huckleberry actually shared this out to the nation, and we had some responses from the nation. So this is a PAX I don't know. We don't know his M, nothing about it, but it shows the culture that F3 is creating across the nation, right? First of all, this wife also understood the assignment, and her three words or less for F3 was really stinking early. But I noticed a pretty consistent pattern across people who did respond, and it was very little or nothing about fitness was mentioned.
Oh,
by the
nice.
And because just remember, Magic Mike might have had like 100 million views or something like that, or $100 million in the box office, but Shrek had like 400 million. It was like four times as much. So, not always about fitness, right? So
that's the benchmark, is Shrek.
Shrek, okay. Right. But, she talks about this, which is not just with fitness, but how he shows up as a husband, father, and leader. The encouragement and fellowship he's found through F3 strengthens faith and character. And he's more consistent, accountable, and intentional. We just talked about intentionality. Yeah. And our spouses see it, right? It's not just being an example for other men. You're being examples for your spouses and your M's and how you your M's and your kids, your 2.0s, and the intentionality you show in there doesn't go unnoticed.
So this is another part of turning pro. I don't know if I've talked about this kind of point here in the podcast before. I know I've talked about it out in the gloom with guys before, and I've ruffled some feathers with this before, and it's, if you're not talking about the things that you're learning and developing and trying to improve on with F3, if you haven't talked about those things with your wife, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. I'm straight up.
You're wrong. Because that's the person that you're building your life with. That's the person that you're moving forward in life with. That's the person that you should have common goals that you guys are working towards together as a unit, all right? Once you get married and you have an M, you go from being a singleton to being a we and an us. And if you are fundamentally changing yourself for purposes that do not serve that relationship and the goals that you are moving towards, and she doesn't know why you're doing what you're doing and what you're moving towards, you are wrong. So guys, if you're not sharing some of the, at least some of the stuff that's going on out here in F3 and out in the gloom, and as you get your feet underneath you and you understand that this is more than just the fitness, that it is the fellowship that we gain and it is the faith that we're trying to develop and deepen, those need to be things that you are discussing with your wife, because you are growing as a person and you cannot grow into the person that you should be in that relationship without that other person having input on how you're doing.
Yeah. I think so that kind of goes along pretty well with two other responses I had. Other packs came back and said that was kind of a, you know, this created a more difficult conversation with him and his M. They're going through a lot of tough times, and you know, and then another individual said, you know, we've just grown through experiences and maturing. And he's like, I'm not so sure how much it is that F3 has made me into a new person, hey, we're growing, maturing together. And weathering difficult storms together with their M's, right? But then you have the men to also be there with you during those. Even if you may not feel like, hey, I'm a changed person because of F3, the support you receive through the men and relationships you build there can help build you up and impact your ability to be there for your M's. Because remember, gentlemen, your M isn't always your best friend, right? Sometimes they are your spouse, and you need to be able to talk to somebody else in a way that doesn't bring down. Not bring down your M, but there's conversations that you should probably sometimes need to be having that probably shouldn't be had with your M, because it's like, hey, it sounds so terrible coming out that way.
So I don't think it's necessarily conversations that you shouldn't have with your M. It's conversations that you won't have with your M.
That's right.
There are things that you will bring into a shield lock, into a battle brother, that you are not going to be willing to bring to your wife. And certainly, at least initially, you know, like the easiest one that comes to the top of my head, if you're struggling with pornography, like how do you start that conversation with your wife? Versus starting that conversation with somebody to come alongside you and support you with it, help you, you know, start to grapple with that. And then that conversation needs to happen. But again, it's not so much that you shouldn't have those conversations with your M, it's that you won't if you don't have that conversation somewhere else and develop some answers and again, some preparedness.
And like I said, my wife wrote a novel, which is, it made me cry. I teared up a little bit, you know, but, you know, and she even recognizes that in what she writes here, you know, talking about, I came to F3, 3 days into my sobriety journey, right? And we reached a point where her and I couldn't really talk about it anymore because she had already exhausted all of the conversations. There was nothing more to talk about in terms of my quitting alcohol. But it ended up being that having a larger support group of men, you know, coming out of the military, coming out of all the organized sports through college, high school, college, military, having support groups to being thrown out and having nothing. And then finding this was that point. Like, you know, you need to go talk to other people who are experiencing these, because I've got nothing else I can give you on this that I haven't already given you.
Yeah, dude, I'll never forget during GTE when we were up there at Table Rock and that sunriser and you speaking. That was just, you know, the visceral emotional impact that F3 has had, and I think that's incredible. And I don't know that everybody within F3 will get to experience that kind of level of change and transformation that you've been able to experience through F3 and using F3 as a tool to help that happen in your life and enhance those relationships. But it's something that we could all have. And I think that's the one thing, like, your wife doesn't get to see all the good guys out here and the things that we struggle with and that we come alongside each other and how struggling and pushing through a workout in the morning is somehow going to make you a better person. Well, on its own, it doesn't. But if we can learn the lessons and we can take the lessons that we learn from pushing through a workout and somebody coming alongside us and showing us, like, hey, keep going. Now, that strength that we build there can be transferred into other things. Again, turning professional in your life. And I think that's a wonderful moment, and that your wife has been able to experience that. And that if F3 Boise has played any small part in your recovery and in the improvement in that relationship and in your life, I mean it's all been worth it.
Oh yeah.
This thing could get shut down tomorrow and it's been worth it. But we got more people to impact.
Yeah. I love our wife. I don't think she talked about me very much in the whole thing. She talked about other men. It sounds terrible coming out. I should really think about things before I say
crazy.
But she talks about the impact of other men on me, which has the impact on things. But talk about one when I went to the hospital with AFib. Right? Yeah. I had more people asking to bring dinner than we could eat. Right. So guys are showing up to the door. I'm laying in bed, like out of it, and on all these different meds. And guys show up, she doesn't even know. And they're like, I'm here to bring food for Doodle, you know. Retina was the first. I think I came home from the hospital and Retina was like,
he always is.
Yeah. He was not going to let anyone else beat him. You know, but that was a profound moment for not just my wife, but my kids. Someone planted a shovel flag in the front yard. You know, and she's like, that had a profound impact because we were new to an area. We move a lot. We will continue to move, unfortunately. But seeing that, you know, also seeing that how other men could come around and create a village around another man, and feeling supported in that, so that you know, you're not doing this alone, is another component that she recognized and said, wow, this is amazing. And seeing that, she even had a little bit of an encouragement. I'm sorry, babe. I'm skipping through all of it. I wish I had the entire time to read it all. She asked me to, you know, and she put in there at the end. She's like, to any ladies listening, let him do this for himself, you know?
Yeah.
And, I thought that was kind of a little humble nod to be like, yeah, this is taking something away.
And to any woman listening to this, and to Doodles M in particular, it's let them do this to improve themselves. But again, hold them to that idea that we're here doing these things to support these relationships.
Yeah,
to support you. It's not just for us. It's not just adult recess out here that we're doing. So it should be purposeful. And I know it's a benefit, and I've greatly benefited from it. But without the outcomes, mm-hmm. what is kind of the point?
Yeah, I think that's something that in our relationship we've struggled with. We've been together for like 16 years. We've been together for a long time, and so sometimes we forget to recognize when we need solo time to grow and do different things. I forget about it sometimes when I come home from work and she's like, I want to go out and do this by myself, and all I want to do is spend some time with her. But you gotta let your M's go out and do something for themselves as well. You know, that's a way of showing love, especially if your wife's an introvert or is just like, I'm touched out from the kids. I need to go do me. You know,
go read The Five Love Languages. Mm-hmm. Right? If you've never read that book, go read it, and it's going to give you a lot of insight on how you can treat your wife correctly and how you can engage in that M relationship more effectively.
Yeah. So men, make space for yourselves to grow as well, and making mm-hmm. sure that's accelerating family, but also make sure your M's have space to grow, because they are also a leader within your family, right? You know, with your kids, it's a co-partnership in terms of getting and raising kids. It takes a village to raise kids, and you can't have you can't have a weak link. I mean, you should know each other's strengths and weaknesses and play off of those and let each other grow within your strengths, so...
Yeah, I think for my wife, the biggest impact, again, wasn't fitness. It was, I mean, for years, I know she had been praying for me specifically to find community and to find a group of guys that I could go deep with and plug in. And she was actually the one that technically EH'd me to go join the backyard or show up as an FNG. And man, it's changed my life in the sense that, not only has my fitness and health gotten better, but man, I've got friends. Like I didn't have any close friends really that I could really rely on or be pour into or have poured into me. It's been the best thing, and she has really found that to be beneficial for not just for me but for both of us. She's seen that positive change, so I'm very thankful for F3.
Yeah. Well, kind of wrap it up here, but say, thank you to all the M's who, if you pass out or share this podcast with your M's, and if you don't, at least pass this on to them from us. Thank you to all the M's for sharing your man with us. Yeah, thank you for letting him come out in the early wee hours of the morning. I know you were enjoying getting the whole bed to yourselves. But thank you both of your guys' M's for coming out here and doing the podcast. I know I know it takes sacrifice to go do that. It takes sacrifice on Saturday mornings to go out and ruck with other men, and do all these community service events that we do, and we can't do it without our M's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave you with this, guys. Take this opportunity this week. Love your wife. Love your family. Be intentional. And as always, we'll see you in the gloom. So this is Hooch.
Doodle.
And Cortana.